God's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I want to speak this morning upon the widow's faith. I would like to read the first four verses of Luke chapter 21. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, "Of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all of these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." When this poor widow cast her 2 mites into the treasury, which amounts to less than 1 penny, it was the smallest coin there was, and of the least value. It was worth about a fifth of a penny, 2 of them less than half of a cent. When this woman cast her 2 mites into the treasury, she had no idea that this action would be recorded in Holy Scripture and that we would be considering it some 2,000 years later. And with this woman's action, we have as clear an illustration of what true faith is as you'll find anywhere in the Word of God. Now, if you want to know what faith really is, I hope you'll listen. Pray for me that I'll be enabled to speak on it rightly, and that you would be given hearing ears and receptive hearts. Now, Mark's account says that Jesus set over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Not how much, but how. In what manner, what motive, what attitude, what spirit. He beheld how they cast money into the treasury. Not how much, but how. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." This word "how" is so important. Not only did the Lord say, "Take heed what ye hear," what ye hear is important. He also said, "Take heed how ye hear," what your attitude is, what your spirit is. "Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak." Now, he was watching the rich men placing their gifts in the treasury, and Mark's account says, "Many that were rich cast in much. They gave large, large gifts." And who's going to criticize them for that? I mean, giving. What an issue giving is. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, "Giving proves the sincerity of your love." Now, you can say you love all you want, but if it's not seen in your giving, it's not real. It's not sincere. What does love do? Love gives. Love loves to give. And believers love to give. Yes, they've been taught to forget to give, but they also love to give. And this woman was giving because that's what she wanted to do. Love loves to give. Now, this certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites, he saw this poor widow casting in 2 mites. Now, a poor widow was a woman who was left destitute by her husband, and she had no means of support at all. It didn't have the social agencies that we have in our day. There was no Social Security then, or the things that can be done to help the poor. And a poor widow was someone who had absolutely no means of resources. She had nothing. And the word "poor" in verse 2, This is the only time this word is used in the entire Bible. It's not the word that's generally translated poor of purse. It means necessitous. This woman had great needs. Not only was she poor, that word is used to describe her in verse 3, reduced to beggary, destitute of wealth, influence, or position. She was a beggar, and she had great needs. Such was her position. A poor widow with great needs. And she throws in two mites. Now, if someone dropped two pennies into the collection box, it wouldn't help pay the bills much, would it? It wouldn't even make a dent. But this woman cast in, let's just say 2 cents. 2 cents. And let's look at the Lord's assessment of what she did. He says in verse 3, and he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Now, it may be one fellow put in $5,000, another put in $10,000, another put in $500. I mean, it could have gone and on. And yet, the Lord says that this 2 cents that this woman put in was more than all the combined gifts that everybody had brought. Now, that's the Lord's assessment of things. And how he assesses things is the way they really are. And he says this poor widow cast in more than every one of them. Now, the Lord knows what the motive is, and he also knows what is truly given is seen in how much we keep. What was this woman left with after she cast her two mites into the treasury? She was left with nothing. She gave all of her living. She gave all that she had. Those who gave of their abundance gave something that was not felt, missed, and made no difference in their comfort. There was no sacrifice involved in their giving. David said, I will not give unto the Lord that which cost me nothing. There was no sacrifice in their giving, but this woman gave everything. Now, I repeat, giving is a love issue. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And it's a faith issue. Somebody says, I can't give that. I might need it next month. My car might break down. My car or some catastrophe might happen. I can't give this gift. I have too many responsibilities. Can't we trust the Lord to meet our needs? We say we trust the Lord to save us. Can't we trust Him to meet our material needs? Sure we can. This woman trusted Him for everything. Now, when I was a child, I never worried once about whether dinner would be put on our table because I knew my father would take care of that. I had not a worry in the world about that. And that's the way every believer is called upon to trust their Heavenly Father, to trust Him for everything. Now, when this woman gave, remember this, as I said, this is an illustration of what true saving faith is. When this woman gave, she gave all of her living, and what was she left with? Complete dependence upon God for everything. Complete dependence upon God for everything because she now had nothing. Now, we admire this woman for the faith that enabled her to trust God like this. And I want to be like her. But I want to have her faith. Now, what can we learn about saving faith through this woman, this gift she gave? I want to know what I can learn about faith because I want to have faith. Scripture says the just shall live by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is faith? Now, the first thing I would consider is this woman's character, her condition. There is no place for faith where there is not poverty of spirit before God and great need. This woman was poor, And this woman was needy. And there is no faith where there's not a poor and a needy sinner. This woman was poor, and she didn't have the potential to get herself out of this. She had no help. She had nothing. And not only was she poor, the Lord used that word necessitous to let us know that she was a woman who had great and many needs. Like David old, she was poor and she was needy. Now, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? I'm not talking about poor in purse right now. I'm talking about poor in spirit. You know, when David said, "I'm poor and needy," he was a very wealthy man, perhaps the most wealthy man on earth. But before God, he was still poor and he was still needy. Now, what does it mean to be poor before God? To be poor means you have no resources. And you do not have the potential to come up with any. You can't think, well, maybe on a better day when my circumstances are better, I'm not going through this trial or I'm in this environment, things will be better. No, if you're poor, you know you don't have a penny's worth of merit before God, no righteousness whatsoever, nor do you even have the potential to get any. You are poor before God. You have nothing, absolutely nothing, to recommend you to God. You have no works that He could accept. You are without resources. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. You know that you're dead in trespasses and sins, and you can't save yourself. You can't do anything to get God to save you. You can't even make a move toward God. You can't do anything because you don't have anything. You're poor. You're poor. You have nothing to recommend you to God. You're reduced to complete dependence upon the charity of God, the goodwill of God. You're like that leper who came into Christ's presence and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." You have nothing to recommend yourself. If you will, you can. You have the power to make me clean, but I don't have the power to make myself clean. I don't have anything to bring to the table. I am poor. I have nothing, nothing that you could accept, nothing you could be pleased with. I am poor. Not only are you poor, you have great needs. Not only are you poor and have nothing, but you have great needs. First of all, I need to have a need. You know, there are a lot of people who don't have a need. The Lord said, "The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Oh, Lord, I'm sick. I need you as the great physician to come and heal me and save me. The Scripture says in Luke 9:11, He healed them that had need of healing. And I'll not be needy. I'll be hard-hearted unless He gives me the need. I need Him to give me a need of Him, because all who need Him, He saves. So I won't even think I need Him. I'll just be hard-hearted and self-righteous and blind to myself unless He creates that need for Him. I need Him to give me a new heart. I need Him to give me a new spirit, because mine's no good. I need Him to give me faith. I can't come up with the faith. I can't just up and believe. I need Him to give me faith, or I won't have any. The Scripture says faith is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's the gift of God. I need Him to give me repentance. I can't repent. My heart will remain hard unless He grants me that repentance that comes through Him giving me a new heart that repents. God hath granted to Israel repentance and the remission of sins. It's the gift of God just as much as faith is. I'm a real charity case. These are things that must be given to me by the charity of God. Let me take this even further. If you listen to me preach much on this TV program, you hear me talk a lot about election, God electing who would be saved before time began. It's a glorious doctrine concerning who God is and how He saves by His grace. You can't preach the gospel and not preach election. But I'm not here to argue about election, whether or not it's true. I know it's true. I need God to elect me. I need him to choose me. If he doesn't choose me, I know I'm so bad I'll never choose him. So I need to be elected. I need Christ to put away my sin. There's nothing I can do about my sin. I need Christ to put it away so that it's no longer there. So it can't come popping up sometime in the future. I need it to be gone completely. I need him to justify me. I need him to give me a righteousness because I can't work out one. This is my need. I need redemption. I need to be redeemed from my sin and redeemed from my bondage and set free. I need to be born from above. I need for him to give me the new birth. I think it's interesting. Billy Graham wrote a book, How to Be Born Again, but the Bible never tells you how to be born again, but it says you must be born again. You must be born from above. I need to be born from above. I need God to give me a new heart and a new nature that loves him, that repents, that believes. I need this work of grace done in my heart. I need him to preserve me. I know that if he doesn't preserve me, I won't persevere. It's only that one who endures to the end that shall be saved. And if he doesn't keep me from falling, I will fall away. I need to be preserved by his grace all the way to the end. I need to be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I need his grace. I need him to never leave me nor forsake me. I need to be made both to will and to do his good pleasure. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, For it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling because it's God that works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. For me to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling, I'm going to have him work in me both to will and to do his good pleasure. I need to be made to fear his name. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I need to not be left to myself because if I'm left to myself, my heart will harden for sure. I need him to cause me to do his will. I need for him to make me willing in the day of his power. You see, I'm poor. I have nothing. And I'm needy. Oh, how I need him to do for me that which I cannot do for myself. And I can say this with conviction. This isn't just me talking. This is me saying something I really believe. I hope I'm always saying something I really believe, but I believe this. There isn't anybody that's poorer than me. And there isn't anyone who has greater needs than me. This widow was poor, and she was needy. And she cast her two mites into the treasury, which represents faith, and all she had left was complete dependence upon Christ. She didn't have anything. All she had, which is all she needed, was complete dependence upon Christ. She was completely dependent upon his provision. Now that's the same thing as what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 when he said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Now, this woman was reduced to complete dependence on God to provide everything for her. She had nothing. Whatever she was to have was to be what God provided. Now, with that thought in mind, I want to read a passage of Scripture from Genesis chapter 22. This is one of my favorite passages in all the Word of God about God's provision. We read beginning in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He gave him a very severe trial. That doesn't mean he was tempting him to sin. He was giving him a very severe trial at this time in his life. He was an old man at this time. He was an old man. And God did tempt Abraham at this time in his life. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. What a command. He's telling Abraham to take his son, who God promised the Messiah is going to come through him, all nations of the earth will be blessed in him, and now he's telling him, go kill him. Now, what if God told you to go kill your child? I've heard so many people say, I just don't think I can do that. If you believe what Abraham believed, you could. You see, Abraham believed that after he killed this boy, God would raise him from the dead. Because God had promised that the Messiah would come through Isaac. And he knew even if he killed him, God would raise him from the dead. And the Messiah would still come through him because God cannot lie. As a matter of fact, we read in verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He believed that after he killed him, God would raise him from the dead. And he told them, we're going to come back to you. Now, verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. He didn't leave anything undone. He brought the wood for the burnt offering. Verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? We have the fire, we have the heat, we have the warmth, we have the enthusiasm. Here's the wood, here's the structure, here's the doctrine. We have the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Do you know every sermon I hear, that's the question I ask. Where's the lamb? You may have the warmth and heat. You may have the right doctrine, the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Paul the Apostle said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Every message that's preached, I don't care what the subject is, it better have the lamb in it. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now let's look at Abraham's reply. He said in verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Did Abraham know what he was talking about? I believe he did. But hear his answer to his son. God will provide a lamb. Poor, needy sinner, you can't provide anything, but God provides. All that God requires, God provides. If you're a poor and needy sinner, listen to me carefully, everything that God requires of you, He provides. You don't provide anything. God will provide for Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. You see, for God to do something for me or you, He first had to do something for Himself. His holy law has to be honored. His justice has to be satisfied. For God to do something for me or you, He had to first do something for Himself. And the lamb was for God. Christ died for God. For God to find a way to be just and yet justify the ungodly, for God to punish sin, for God to do what he said he's going to do. God had to do something for himself before he could embrace me or you. Something had to be done about our sin. He couldn't love us just the way we are. He doesn't love unconditionally. People talk about unconditional love. There's no such thing. If I'm going to be loved by God, I'm going to be lovely. And in Christ, I am lovely and lovable. God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And thirdly, God will provide himself as the lamb. God provided himself as the lamb. The Lamb of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. God provides. God provides. So in verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. Now, Isaac didn't struggle against this, and I know it's because his father told him, God told me to do this, we got to do it, but God's going to raise you from the dead because he said the promised Messiah is going to come through you. And so Isaac did this willingly, just like the Lord Jesus Christ willingly laid down his life. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said unto him, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I knowest that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Substitution, the very heart of the gospel. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide, as it seemed to this day. The Lord will provide. Now, that poor, needy woman cast in all her living, and she was left with nothing but the provision of God. And having his provision is having all things. This poor widow was amazingly rich with God as her provider. And we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.